What are the criterion for being a relative of Jesus? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and if by this point in the week people are really starting to get on your nerves, they're driving you crazy, you could just scream, you're ready to pull your hair out, you're thinking of maybe even blasting them. Don't blast them, come on. Don't blast your spouses, your children, your parents. Don't blast your brother and sister, your friends, your co-workers. You got to become what I call a domestic mystic, using the words from the great musical Les Miserables, one of the last songs in it. To love another person is to see the face of God. And when you can do that, you can see the face of God in your enemies, the people get on your nerves, the people take you for granted, the people are trying to just make your life difficult. When you do that, then no one can have power over you. No one can take away the peace I often talk about, quoting Jesus, "I'll give you peace the world cannot give." Or that joy that Jesus says it'll be complete, a joy no one can take from you. That's what you need to count on, okay? And the more you do that, the more you become a relative of Jesus. Now, first, let me get, before I say more about that, let me get to today's quote from Jesus. And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mothers and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." You know, that was in response to the person who said, "Your mother, your brothers, sisters are outside. They're trying to get to see you." And Jesus looks around and says that. You know, we may be related by love to our relatives. Excuse me. We may be related by blood, but that doesn't mean we're necessarily related by love. Love is another whole step. Love is a decision. It's not primarily an emotion. It's a decision. We decide to love the people. Even when they're cranky, even when they're grumpy, even when they're getting on your nerves, even when they're taking you for granted, even when they're using your stuff without asking. How easy is that? I'm not going to give you the impression that's easy. I'll give you the impression that that's how you fit the description, the definition of what it means to be related to Jesus. Let me ask you a question. This is a tough question. Every once in a while I pose tough questions. Are you related by love or just by blood? Does your family help or hinder you from fulfilling your Christian vocation? Now, at first glance, you might say, how in the world could my family possibly hinder me from living out my, to the fullest, my Christian vocation? But they can. Okay? Let me give you some examples how they can maybe do that. Number one, say you like to pray, but your family doesn't. Say the times you brought up prayer to your family, they said they're too busy, they didn't want to do it, or they felt when they prayed, they are becoming holy rollers. Well, if that's true in their lives, you can imagine their reaction when you say, "Well, I want to pray. Can I pray? Can I lead the prayer? I don't mind if I lead the prayer before we eat every day." Pretty soon, you're going to be labeled. You're going to be labeled a religious fanatic. You're going to be labeled a person who is out of touch with the real world. So if something as simple as praying, your family members could get in the way. They could be a hindrance of you growing deeper and deeper love with, in and through Jesus, because he gave us the ingredients for that to happen. Number one is prayer. Two, does your family hinder you from forgiving? Do they say things like, "You're crazy to forgive that person"? You can't. You're only human. You can't forgive them. Well, we're all called to forgive, and we're given the grace to forgive. We hear that in the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We're called to forgive. Now, with the vocation comes the grace. We will get the grace to be able to forgive, even though There's a part of us who feels great anger at another person who has been traumatized by a prison experience, and they're not into forgiving so easily. That's where we need to pray for them. Pray for them, and they need to pray for themselves. Often families can be in the way. They can be a hindrance to our being able to forgive. Well, how about the way people talk? Are they vulgar? Are they obscene? Do they whine a lot? Are they constantly complaining about other people? That would be a hindrance, wouldn't it? The conversations that go on. How people talk. How they can ridicule. How they can make fun of us. And what about charity? Does your family help you or hinder you from being a charitable person? Do you hear things like, what can one person do? You're given such an insignificant amount, how could that help? You're a sucker for all the charities that come along. It's amazing what we hear. So whether it's in the area of prayer, forgiveness, conversation, charity, or choosing to become more like Jesus, that's going to be the challenge of today's program. That's going to be something that you and I have to work on all the days of our life. Having consistent prayer life. Being able to forgive when we have been terribly hurt. Carrying on conversations that reflect the Jesus that dwells in us. Dwells in each one of us. You know how I often say on the program, God does not break into our life from the outside. God breaks out of our life from the inside. Yes. Jesus in us, inviting us to be more and more charitable. Jesus within us, helping us to make good decisions about our vocation choices in life. So each of us need to really work on these areas. And we need to realize that our parents and our brothers and sisters and our extended family may or may not be a help for us in walking our Christian walk. And if they're not a help, then we have to avoid them. Not because we're holier than thou, not because we think we're better, it's just that we don't want to be somehow corrupted so that we find ourselves complaining, whining, talking, judging people. That goes on so much today. And we have to challenge that. And if we challenge it, they'll even be more angry at us. And we're going to have to change what we wear. So we went to the gray males. Keep on working on this point, okay? This is like the foundational point. This is what we build. Relationships have to be built not on chemistry alone, not on bloodlines alone. They have to be built on individual choices that we make in our lives to follow Jesus, to do His will when it's difficult, to take risk even though we don't know what the end result's going to be. As we work on these areas of our life, then powerful graces can be given to us. God will be so delighted that some of us have chosen to fulfill the conditions of being a relative of Jesus, to hear His word, to share the word, to use the word as a powerful instrument of healing. I know that we live in some scrupulous times where people find that very difficult to believe. But there's internal and external healings. And God knows which one we need the most. And I believe God will act upon that. It's a matter of making ourselves at God's disposal. Here I am, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Those are the kind of things we'll get a wonderful response from God. You know who I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for principals of schools. Whether it's grade school, middle school, or high school. They have incredible challenges in their life. Whether it's from hiring the best type of teachers who could be mentors to the students. Whether it's allowing people to come in and drop something off. They're faced with confrontation. I mean, I've spoken in many, many schools. Public schools, yes. And one of the topics that I regularly get is, could you talk about conflict resolution? So we want to pray for principals who have to have the wisdom when there's a fire drill. They have to have a wisdom when it really is a genuine danger. They have to get the children out quickly. God bless principals of schools. May they have the strength and the energy to fulfill their responsibilities, knowing that God will give them the extra grace they need. Now for today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. This is not really a joke. This is just more humorous. But nonetheless, it fulfills what I think has to happen every day. God populated the earth with vegetables of all kinds so that man would live a long and healthy life. And Satan created the 99-cent cheeseburger, double cheeseburger. And Satan said to man, "Want fries with that?" And man said, "Supersize them." And man gained pounds. And God created healthful yogurt, and Satan froze the yogurt, brought forth chocolate, nuts, brightly colored candy to put on top. And man gained more pounds. And God brought forth running shoes, and man resolved to lose those extra pounds. And Satan brought both cable TV remote control and potato chips, and man clutched his remote and all his chips. Satan saw this and said, and man went into cardiac arrest. And God sighed and created quadruple bypass surgery. Ready for the final finale here? And Satan created HMOs. So, clever use of a story to make a point that as much as God's asking us to take care of our health, we often don't do that. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you, okay? Let me know that you're listening to the program. It's just a real shot in the arm to know that people are actually listening and perhaps benefiting from it. I mean, I do want you to benefit from the program. You can send me your prayer intentions, which I will faithfully take to prayer. I will storm heaven for you and with you, asking God to bless you. You can let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year. There's 6 issues every other month. There's no charge for the newsletter. If you'd like to give a donation for the newsletter, that's fine. Now, in the newsletter is where I publish my preaching schedule. It's the only place. I won't put it on my website. It's the only place where you can get my preaching schedule. There's always human inspiration in the newsletter. And as I say, every program... And beg, because Franciscans are beggars, could you write a check for my hospital? Could you help me keep my hospital in Oaxaca, Mexico open? You can make the check to TASH, TASH, and send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And believe me, I don't care what amount you make that check out to be, God will bless you profoundly for your generosity to the poor. If you'd like to use the internet to visit my website, it's fatherscott.com, F-A-T-H-E-R, fatherscott.com. I think you'll enjoy my website. A lot of good information on there. So let's pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there's sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord.